This is the Illuminate Podcast, a Sandy Boy production. Each week on the Illuminate Podcast, the hosts will bring you insightful conversations and stories of people who are illuminating their own lives through their business, work, community, family, and world.
Hello, and welcome to the Illuminate Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Emmy Birch, and today we are talking to Chris Twix as we look at everything strategy-based, specifically how to get into running, how to get into run walking, why you should run walk. Now, hold up a second. I know you're not a runner. Emmy, stop doing all of these episodes with people who are passionate about parts of running things. Y'all, Chris is part of the Galloway program, and it is a highly researched, super awesomely sustainable run walk program, but it's all about the system. And in this conversation, we talk about Tiggers versus Eeyores and how to get from your couch to the mailbox and maybe even two mailboxes. But y'all, what I love about this is that Chris encourages you to try something. It might not be running. It might be, you know, doing whatever that thing is that you've always wanted to do. But in this conversation, you'll hear Chris's passion for what it is that he does. And illuminating that is making running and walking more accessible to everybody, but also just inspiring because of how much he loves what he gets to do. This was a joy of a conversation to have, and I can't wait for you to listen to it. Make sure if you have a second that you like and share, even write a review if that's your thing, because that's how more people hear awesome stories like this. But without further ado, hear this conversation with my friend, Chris Twix, as we talk about I Walk on Purpose. Today on the Illuminate Podcast, we are talking to one of my friends, Chris Twix. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing today, Emmy?
I'm thrilled for this conversation, y'all. Chris and I met on Zoom and it was instantaneous friendship.
We have a lot in common.
We do. We have our Florida State alma mater. It was our grad school location, one of them for me, and such a cool place to be. And then running is a thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really an obsession and thankfully now a vocation.
Oh, isn't that the best part? So listeners, don't turn off, like I always tell you, because we're talking about running. That is not a reason to flip the switch, because part of Illuminate is illuminating what inspires people, because you never know what you're going to learn. But specifically today, I'm excited for Chris to talk to us about how we can make running more accessible. So as a good entry point, or as new things that you can try as you go through your running experiences. So let's kick this off, Chris. Tell the listeners, where are you and what is it that you do?
So I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and I am the chief training officer for Galloway Training, which is Jeff Galloway's company. Jeff Galloway really popularized the idea of using a run-walk strategy to help people accomplish their running goals. And I've worked full-time for Jeff Galloway since 2010, and his office is in Atlanta, but thankfully he's allowed me to work remotely, which I've been doing since way before that was a cool thing for people to do.
Awesome. So what did you do before 2010 with Galloway?
Well, I was a full-time English professor. And so that's what I was in grad school at Florida State to study and to become. And it was a fantastic career. I loved it. And somewhere along the line, Jeff Galloway needed someone to head up his training programs. We've got about 50 different training programs in cities around the world. And I had been coaching on the side from teaching. I'd been coaching on the side with one of his local training programs. I started a Galloway training program. First one I started was at in Greenville, South Carolina, actually. I was teaching at Furman University, and I had a Galloway program on the side there. And then we moved to Ormond Beach, Florida. I was teaching at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, and I started a Galloway program there. By the way, Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University is a very strange place to be an English professor, I have to say. It was very interesting, right? I mean, none of these people are going to be English majors. That didn't exist as a major there. And yet every single person, when I was teaching there, every freshman had to read Kafka's Metamorphosis. Interesting thing, right? Very mm-hmm. interesting thing. So I started a Galloway program there, and then we moved to the Jacksonville, Florida area, which is actually where I grew up. And I told Jeff, I'm not going to start a new I started a Galloway program there, but I said, I'm not starting any new Galloway programs. But then in 2010, the national director for him retired and he offered me the position. And it was a good opportunity for me. My approach in the classroom was always a coaching approach anyway. I never saw myself as the saying, I know you probably heard it, but rather than being the sage on the stage, be the guide on the side. Mm-hmm. And so that was always my approach in the classroom, was there beside the student, helping them learn. And that translated very well into coaching. And we had a son who was having difficulty in middle school, and it was helpful for there to be a parent who could be there at the school within 5 minutes if there was a problem. And I couldn't have done that when I was teaching an hour away on a campus with my own students. And so being able to work from home really made that happen. So that was the transition. That's how I got there. But I was a believer in Jeff Galloway's run, walk, run method. All the way back in 1995 was the first time that I tried it in a marathon. And it was successful for me right away. And I see it every day. I see the success that people have with it on different levels.
Did you run before 1995?
Not much. You know, first of all, I was only 3 years old back then. So I was married and working. But I was not a runner, really. My wife was a runner growing up. She was a competitive swimmer, but she ran to stay in shape. And after we got married, she was in medical school at Florida State University and then at University of Florida. Back then, they shared a program. And that's why we moved. We actually moved from Tallahassee down to Gainesville, enemy territory if you're a Seminole. Yeah, I see the look on your face. But a great running city, by the way. Gainesville, Florida is an amazing running city, the birthplace of the Florida. It's where the Florida Track Club is. It's where Jeff Galloway and Frank Shorter and Jack Batchelor all trained when they went to 1972's Munich Olympics. It's an amazing place to run. So anyway, my wife came home from, I think, the first or second week of medical school, and she said, hey, there's going to be this marathon at Walt Disney World. That's very interesting. I wasn't interested, but it's very interesting. And she said, I think we should do it. I was not a runner. She had been a runner. And so she convinced me to train for my first marathon. And that was the inaugural Walt Disney World Marathon, January of 1994.
Whoa.
Last month was actually the 30th Disney Marathon, and I've done all 30 of them. So my first marathon was the first Disney Marathon. And I ran it straight through because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. And then it was a pain, though. It was a real pain. The training was what I hated the most. Not the running part wasn't so bad, but the training I was using, I didn't like. And so I found another way to train, which was Jeff Galloway's method and using his training schedules in his first Galloway's book on running. And then we heard Jeff Galloway talk about using walk breaks at the expo the night before that second Disney Marathon, January 1995. And we decided to try the walk breaks. And they were a wild success for us. My wife qualified for Boston the very first time she ever used run walk. We'd never used it before that marathon, not in any training runs or anything. And so we both tried it. I shaved about 15 minutes off of my marathon time, but she shaved way more than half an hour. She went from a 4:15 to a 3:38 and qualified for Boston the very first time she used run walk. So we were sold, and I've never run a marathon using any other method.
So I love this whole concept that it's just based on a system, and mm-hmm. it makes it so accessible. So, I mean, your running journey, you went in, you trained, you didn't enjoy it, but you did it because your wife asked you to. So people who are listening that are like, okay, I've seen these people running through my neighborhoods. I'm not sure if that's a thing for me, but this run walk seems accessible. So how does it start?
It's really accessible. And I think that's so important. There's so many people that I meet that say, oh, I'd love to run. And I tried one time, I tried to run around my neighborhood and it was 2 miles and I couldn't do it. And they give up. They think that's it. If I can't run 2 miles or a mile or whatever arbitrary distance they think they're supposed to do, maybe it's a 5K. They were supposed to run a 5K. They've got some friends that are doing it. It's a fundraiser for the kids' school. And so they go and they try to do it and they can't run the full 5K. And like, well, running is just not for me. So what this does, the run walk method, it gives you permission, it gives you encouragement to use a planned ratio of how much running and how much walking you're going to do to get through the distance. And so you don't worry about how far can I run? It's just how long can I run? Can I run for 30 seconds? Probably. And so run for 30 seconds and walk for 30 seconds and just repeat, just rinse and repeat. And we have people that run entire marathons or ultra marathons using 30 second run, 30 second walk. Or maybe if you're a little faster or a little more experienced, maybe you run for a minute and then walk for 30 seconds. Or maybe you've got more challenges and 30 seconds is too long to run. And so you're doing 15 seconds of run and 30 seconds of walk. So we have a chart on jeffgalloway.com. We have a chart that people can follow, can go to, and they can see the recommended run-walk ratios by pace. And so slower runners, you know, if you're going to be going maybe an 18-minute pace, maybe you're only going to run for 5 seconds and then walk for 30 seconds. Faster runners that are going to be running maybe 7-minute miles, they may be going 6 minutes of running and then 30 seconds of walking. And as you progress in your running and get faster, you might progress through those different ratios until you find a ratio that really works best for you. And we know the chart works best for most people, but you aren't most people and I'm not most people. You're an individual. And so once you've tried that ratio that works best for most people at that pace, then you can try tweaking it a little bit. Some people are... I'm a Disney person, you know, that's why I've done the Disney marathon so many times. So so I think of it in terms of Tiggers and Eeyores. So some people are Tiggers. Some people have got all this energy and they want to go really, really fast. And so they're going to maybe do shorter intervals because they're going to fly through those intervals. They're going to go a lot faster in those intervals. And other people are more like Eeyores. They're going to go a little bit more steady pace. They're going to go slower when they're moving. And so they might do a longer ratio. They might be 2 minutes or 3 minutes of running to those 30 seconds of walking. But ultimately, the Tigger and the Eeyore can finish at the same time if you find the right ratio that works for them. And it's important that you do that, that you experiment with it. And that's where the fun is in the system. But it's absolutely accessible to anybody. Everybody can run for maybe 5 seconds. Everybody can walk. Well, not everybody can walk. Let's accept that. But those that are mobile that can run and walk, they can use this system, and it meets them where they are and allows them to accomplish their goal. If that's finishing that 5K, or it's training for that half marathon, or training for the marathon, and it works at every level. When you progress, if you get to where my wife was right away in her first marathon, trying it and qualifying for Boston, it works to help people break through that barrier to qualify for Boston. It helps people break through that barrier to run a distance they haven't been able to run before. But I just love it because it opens it up to those people who said, oh, I can't run because I tried to run 2 miles and I had to walk. Who cares you had to walk? I walk on purpose. We all should. It's a great way to do it. It reduces the risk of injury and it allows us to do it for decades and decades. We've got people in their 70s and 80s that are using it.
This is so exciting to me because someone who wants to be the one that is directing the retirement community's 5K when I'm 97, this is a great tool to keep in my back pocket. I also love Disney. I'm pretty sure I'm a Tigger, just taking a guess there. But I love the fun and the flexibility of this approach. So you got in it because you just happened to read his book. You just happened to see him talk. Someone might be listening. So step one is go look at the chart and go try, or is step one just go jog for 5 seconds? What's the...
So, I mean, you could do either. Obviously, we'd love for you to go to jeffgalloway.com. There are a lot of great, great resources there as well. And if you have an idea about how fast you're going to run, that chart's going to help you. But if you have no idea, you could just go out to your neighborhood and say, I'm going to run to that mailbox and run to the mailbox and then walk 2 mailboxes. And then I'm going to run to the next mailbox and then walk 2 mailboxes, whatever it is. Or it could be time. It could be 5 seconds and then 30 seconds. There's no wrong way to do it. It's just allowing yourself to choose small chunks that you're going to run. Don't say, I've got to run for 10 minutes, or I've got to run for 5 minutes, or even for a full minute. So that's a great way to get started. And then as you progress, you might find that instead of just running from one mailbox to the next, now maybe you're running for two mailboxes, or maybe you're running all the way down the street to the next street. It's going to adapt with you as you progress. And then when you get strong enough that you feel like, okay, I'm ready to get a real plan for run walk, then we have a tool that's called a magic mile. And a magic mile is a prediction tool that you use. You run that mile. You don't have to run it all out. You don't have to run it without walk breaks. It works just fine with walk breaks, but you time yourself for a fast mile. And then there's some math that we do on it, which is automatically done with a tool on our website or in our app. There's a Jeff Galloway app, and it has this magic mile tool in it as well. And you plug your time, your result from the magic mile in there, and it will tell you, okay, if you want to train for a half marathon, here's your predicted half marathon pace. Here's the recommended run walk ratio to use at that pace. Marathon, here's the predicted marathon pace and the recommended run walk ratio for that, or a 5K or a 10 miler or whatever it is.
That is so cool and so accessible.
Yeah. Absolutely. And all those things are free. The app is free to download. The website, the tool, the Magic Mile Calculator is free to access on that. And if you happen to go to any of the races where we've got Galloway Pacers, you can just run along with them and try it out with them too.
Which that's what I'm really excited about. We'll loop back to that here in a second.
Sure.
But this making it accessible, so many people will, you know, make a comment on a story or a picture or a race and say, man, I wish I could run with you. And my response is, anybody is happy. Come on, let's go together. There's nothing stopping you. But I feel like this is really a perfect, kind of almost a prescription. Here's how to get started. Go see what happens. There is no limit.
You're absolutely right. One of my favorite stories about people deciding that they're going to take the leap and use this is my own father. I've had the opportunity through a partnership that Jeff Galloway had with a really great tour company called Apostolos Greek Tours. I've had the opportunity to run the Athens Marathon in Greece 8 times. And one year I took my father over and he ran the 10K. And the 10K is held the same morning as the marathon. So he finished the 10K and went into this beautiful stadium in downtown Athens to watch the marathoners come in. And as people came in, eventually after the first few people came in and then the middle of the pack, he started seeing people finishing that marathon that were his own age. And he started wondering if this was something that he could do. And so he asked me, you think I could do a marathon? He'd never done one. Yeah, I really think you could. So he trained. And the next year at 70 years old, he ran his first marathon. And I did it with him. It took us about 7 hours. And he was using 30-second run, 30-second walk for part of it. But it's a hilly marathon. So going up the hills, he adapted to a 15-second walk, 30-second run, and he finished that thing. And I have honestly lost count. That was 8 years ago. He just went back to Athens in November and ran it again at 78 years old. And I've lost count of the number of marathons my father has run using this run walk method. He never would have been able to do it trying to run the whole time. And it opened up all of those adventures, all of the exciting opportunities that he had. In fact, this past weekend, he was a Galloway Pacer for the Donna Half Marathon in Jacksonville.
So cool.
He led the 4-hour half marathon group doing 15-second run, 30-second walk for that.
That is so cool. I love seeing people out there, you know, for adventure, for the friend circle, for the... I was the race announcer for a race a few weeks ago, and the oldest finisher was 80, and he made sure to find me before the race and tell me that he's going to be the oldest finisher, and such a cool guy. And when I said, okay, well, why do you do it? His response was, because I don't want to die. My doctor said I had to.
Well,
I wasn't
that's
expecting
good motivation.
That. But
that's
man,
good motivation.
He was out there run walking, having a great time, crossed that finish line with a big old smile on his face.
That is great. That is awesome. That is awesome that he's out there doing it. And good on that doctor for recommending that as well. My father's favorite saying is, there will come a day when I can't do this, but today is not that day. And my dad, he really did come around, because my dad is a physician and he He was really concerned when I got into running marathons. And then when I started doing ultra marathons, he was concerned for my health. He wasn't sure that it was a healthy thing for him to do. And now it's what he lives for. You know, it's changed a lot. And this method is what has done it. And him seeing that the run walk method has made it possible for people my age to go faster. His grandson, my son ran a sub 3 hour marathon this past weekend using run walk. So to see it work at all levels, fast and slow, old and young, is just fantastic.
I want to come back to that sub 3 run walk thing with your son, because that sounds epic. And I can't wait to meet him in Boston. But can we go back to this whole health thing? Because, you know, women were only invited to the scene about 50 years ago. And so my sweet grandma, who I talk to every day, my granny, she's always really concerned about me running marathons. Mm-hmm. So for someone listening, it's like, you're going to break your knees, you're going to break your hips. We know that walking in there adds a level or a layer of protection. What would you say to the, that's going to be bad for you person that's listening?
Well, I mean, we've got a lot of data to back it up that about 99% of the people that train using run walk are able to get to the starting line of their event healthy. And that's what I focus on. I coach a number of people through our customized training plans that we offer at Galloway. And I'll tell folks, there are lots of other coaches out there that will get you a fast finish time. There are plenty of people, plenty of systems that will get you a Boston qualifying time or win your age group in a race or those sorts of things. And that's great. But all of those are more likely to keep you from getting to the starting line. The training for all of those other systems are far more intense, and you're more likely to get injured using those systems than you are for Galloway. My number one concern is getting you to the starting line healthy so that you can have that experience that you paid for, that you trained for, to do the race. So there's far less risk of injury because of the run-walk method, because you are walking before you get tired. You're allowing, during the walking, you're allowing your heart rate to come down. It's far less pounding on all of those joints and things like that. And I think, you know, the results speak for themselves. We do have people, I coach people that are in their 80s that are using this method. We have a lot of great success. So I think also at a certain point, you accept a little bit of risk and you say, I do want to live my life. I don't want to just say sitting on the sidelines is safer. You've got to come out of your bubble. And yeah, once in a while, you might trip on a curb. That can happen to run walkers as well as it happens to people that run the whole time, and as well as people who are just out walking. So There are some dangers. It's never going to be 100% success rate, but this is far gentler on the body. The recovery time is so much faster. It allows us to recover from a marathon or a half marathon or a 5K, whatever it is, and be out there training and doing those things that we love. The 1 year that I trained for a marathon and ran that one without walk breaks, the recovery afterwards was really brutal. And I remember not running from January until March when I ran a 15K because I was so tired from that experience. I'm not saying you won't get tired, but you're able to bounce back from it a lot faster and get back out to doing the thing that you love.
Okay. We have to go back to the sub 3 hour. Because That's crazy fast anyway. But the fact that your son did that run walking, How is that possible?
I know. Well, I'll be honest. We've known it was possible because we've seen people do it. We get people every year that qualify for Boston. We get people every year that go sub 3. We've had a few people that have gone under 2.5 hours for the marathon. We've had people that have won races using it. So we knew that it was possible. But, you know, it's not a lot of people that are out there doing it. So my son, who was both of my boys were cross country runners in high school, and one of them went to college on a running scholarship. And my older son has kept up with it and is very fast and has won half marathons and shorter races and things. So when he got into marathons, I don't think it was on his radar to use run walk, even though for literally his entire life, he has seen it. When he was born, the year that we were in Greenville, South Carolina. And so his as soon as he was old enough to hold his head up, he was in a jogging stroller going out on group runs, doing run walk. So he's been around it. He's known about it. But I think because he's faster than me, and he's faster than his mom, and he's faster than all the people in our local Galloway program in Jacksonville, Florida, he kind of felt like it wasn't something that he really needed. And to be fair, you don't see a lot of really fast people doing it. And I think the reason you don't see a lot of really fast people doing it is because they're having success doing what they're doing. And if you're having success running the whole time, why would you change? Why, you know, if you're having success eating grapefruit every morning before you go out and do your run, why would you have anything else for breakfast? And it's not until you have a bad run that you start thinking, well, maybe I should have had something different to eat for breakfast. And so it wasn't until he had a bad marathon and several bad marathons that he decided, okay, maybe I need to give this run walk thing a try. And I remember last year, this time, he was having a little bit of an identity crisis going into the marathon. And I'd certainly been telling him what to do or giving him advice. And so I called Jeff Galloway. I got him on speakerphone. I remember we were in the car, my wife and my son and I were in the car coming back from dinner the night before the marathon. And we pulled into a parking space and I got Jeff Galloway on the speakerphone. I said, Jeff, I've got a runner that I'm working with and he's been trying to break 3 hours and he's really struggling and he's missed it a few times. And he's finally decided he might want to use run walk. So what would you say to him? And Jeff knew exactly what was going on. And so he said, I would say, Wesley, here's what you should do. I mean, he knew we were talking about my son. And so he gave him a strategy to use. The strategy that he used for that pace was run for 4 minutes, walk for 15 seconds. And that's different from the strategy I would have given him. I would have given him a different strategy, but he knew Wesley. He knew that he was, like you, a Tigger and was going to be running fast in between those walk breaks. So he had him using those walk breaks a little more frequently than I would have. I'm an Eeyore. I'm a slow runner. My best distance is 100 miles. And so I go longer between my walk breaks because I go slower between those walk breaks. But he knew Wesley was a Tigger and he knew Wesley was going to go fast in between those walk breaks. And so he gave him that strategy, run for 4 minutes, walk for 15 seconds. He finished 10th in that marathon. And then in the next marathon, he won the marathon. And he's now his last three marathons, he's gone sub 3 hours using run walk. And he'll use it again at Boston. It's really exciting to see him achieve that using the method. And he would not have tried it if there hadn't been a barrier he couldn't break through. And he decided, okay, I'll give it a shot. And so that's what I tell those fast people is, look, if you're having success doing what you're doing, great. But when you're trying to qualify for Boston, you can't get there. Or you're trying to break 3 hours and you can't get there. You're trying to break 250 and you can't get there. Whatever it is, when you're willing to give it a shot, give this a shot. And I think you're going to be really, really happy with the way it works out. And for those that are listening that are runners, you're all thinking, well, okay, I need to train that way because everybody's telling me nothing new on race day. And I'll point out, number one, my wife tried it new on race day and qualified for Boston. And number two, we're not asking you to do something new because you've all walked before. You're probably going to walk to the starting line of that race. So walking is nothing new. Running, for those folks that we're talking to, is nothing new. If it would be new for you, then give it a shot. But combining those two things is really nothing new. We've probably also done it in speed workouts and track workouts. It's just about putting a structure to it and making it work. And I think you'd be thrilled with results. I know most people are, and I'm really blessed that I get to help people experience that.
Well, I'm super excited to be hearing this more in depth because I first heard about the run walk because I really want to pace Disney. It's going to happen at some point in my life because I love Disney. I've had a lot of birthdays there. It's a thing. But I went out and tried the run walk because that's what your pacers are expected to do because I believe in practicing. Mm-hmm. And I did not do so well. I was not so good at it. It's going to take me some more practice. However, mm-hmm. since you and I have been conversing, I've been testing on my interval days how my intervals go after I walk the recovery versus jog the recovery. Mm-hmm. And if you look at my splits from Tuesday's speed work, all of my fastest intervals came after the exact same amount of time, just walking instead of doing the jog. And that seems like common sense when you say it out loud, but for a runner who's like, I jog my recoveries, that's a thing.
Oh yeah. I mean, when you go to a group track workout, you see it all the time. People go too fast and they jog the recovery because you get a pecking order after that first lap on the track. You find where you are and you don't want people passing you. And so you speed up the recovery so that you can hold your spot. And that's fine. I see people all the time that do that when I go to group track workouts. And those people that are staying ahead of me have never beaten me in a race yet. So I'm not too worried about it. I know, you know, but it does take it. To be fair, those people that are used to running the whole time, it's swallowing the pride a little bit. You have to be willing to have people in the race say, oh, it's okay, you can do it. Or no, you don't need to walk. People are going to say those things. And so you have to swallow your pride a little bit. You have to be willing to hear that and just smile and wave. It's like the penguins of Madagascar. You know, just smile and wave. Just smile and wave.
Okay, so when you're on a course and you're doing this run walk, and you have obviously spectators that are like, you can do it. But what about the other runners on the course? Because like occasionally I'll see someone that's run walking ahead of me and I'll just make sure I don't get behind them. Every once in a while, there's like an abrupt walker who stops right in front of you and you like can't help but run into the back of them. And you're like, sorry, why are you walking? But how does it go on the course?
So hopefully you've got the discipline. If you know you're going to be doing run walk, then you should have the discipline to start to the right or start to the left, take the walk breaks to the side. Our pacers always announce when the walk breaks are coming, call them out, you know, walking on the right side in 30 seconds and then telling everybody, okay, if you're going to walk with the group, we want to be no more than two abreast, stay to the side so that people can run by. Some courses, one of the races that we pace is the Air Force Marathon in Dayton, Ohio, which is a great place to do run walk because the course is really, really wide. You've basically got two lanes on the road dedicated to the runners. And so you could take up the entire right lane with the run walk groups and the left lane would never be impeded at all. So those are great places. But then there are places that are narrow. London Marathon, we'll be pacing that. London Marathon, they're narrow spots. Disney Marathon that we pace, there are definitely some narrow spots. So it's important to stay to the side, call it out if you're in a group, let them know. Individuals typically will raise their hands over their heads and kind of wave a little bit to get people's attention. And you will go back and forth with the same people. And once the people have seen you raise your hand a few seconds before you walk, once they've seen it twice, they know what's going on. And they know, okay, when that person does that, they're about to take a walk break. And you want to have some, you know, awareness. Don't come to a walk and right in front of somebody. If you're going to take your walk in 5 seconds, don't pass that person that's right in front of you. There's no point in that. Just stay right by them and then take your walk break. And most races, after you get past about the halfway point, they thin out quite a bit, except for maybe the very back, they thin out quite a bit. And so you're able to do your own thing and not worry about it. The people that you have to watch out for are those that thought they were going to run the whole thing. And then 18 miles into the marathon or 9 miles into the half marathon, they're gassed. So they're forced to walk. And they're the ones that are more likely to walk right in the middle of the road and to do it abruptly, or they come to the water stop and they come to a dead stop at the water stop. So those are the ones you have to watch out for. But those aren't our people. Those are the people that should have started with us. And hopefully next time they'll do that. If you've done a race and you found yourself walking the last couple of miles or quite a bit in the last few miles, how about just stand that on its head and plan to walk, do run walk for the first few miles and then run in toward the end? That's a much more satisfying way to finish a race.
It's all about that system. If we keep going back to that opening phrase, it's about having a system and a plan, and it makes it so accessible, which brings me to the whole, I'm so glad that we are collaborating and bringing pacers to different races that are not just running the whole time. I think we have a couple races coming up that you're letting us borrow a couple of your Galloway pacers, then they'll be teamed up with someone who's doing run the whole time and they're doing the run walk, which is so cool.
It really is. It's a great way to show people that there's more than one way to skin the cat. There's more than one way to do it. We're all runners. You know, just because you're taking walk breaks doesn't mean you're not a runner. We're all runners. We're all going the same distance. We're all going to get the same medal when we finish. And some run walkers are going to finish ahead of the run only people and vice versa. It's about opening up this community to more and more people. And that's what we want, because when we have more runners, that means there can be more races, more opportunities for all of us to be healthy and do those things that we love.
That's perfect. It is. It's all about opening up the community. Oh, this is such a great conversation. And we haven't even like dove super deep into your awesome coaching and your awesome pace teams. But I feel like this is the perfect entry point for someone listening. It's like, I can jog to the mailbox.
Absolutely. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Opening up the community. So there's more people involved, more races, more opportunities. Okay, let's wrap this up. We have a few end of show questions. Now, you did mention Galloway's book that you read back in the 90s before you started running. But what is the best or most recent book that you've read?
So I just finished, it has nothing to do with running. I just finished reading The London House by Catherine Ray. And it is, so part of my old life as an English professor, I was in charge of a one book, one community thing in Fernandina Beach, Florida, where I live, where we encourage everyone in the community to read a book and then you get to meet the author after you've read it. And so that started, I think we've been doing it for 20 years now. I think this is our 20th year and I'm still in charge of it. And so the London House is our book and we'll get to meet the author in a couple of months. And it's a good read. It's a historical fiction. It kind of takes place in two different timelines, modern day, and then Second World War. It explores a family history that's been buried and is being unearthed in a painful way. I recommend it.
It's one of my historical fictions are one of my favorite. Thank
good.
You.
The good. London You'll like House. This one.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Who or what is illuminating or inspiring you right now?
Well, I just finished, we just wrapped up the Donna Marathon, and Donna Deegan has been an inspiration to me for 20 plus years. She is a three-time breast cancer survivor. This marathon was started, it actually grew out of our local Galloway program. Donna and her husband, Tim, ran with our program to raise money for Donna's foundation. And then after we raised a bunch of money running a different race for her foundation, she said, I want my own race. And so we created this marathon. Jeff Galloway has been involved with it from the beginning. But Donna Deegan is definitely inspiring me always and right now, especially.
I love it. I really want to do that one. Maybe that can be my goal. I work on my pacing and I can help you in Disney and then Donna.
Deal. Absolutely.
Okay, that gives me some goals.
I know the guy that can make that happen.
I'm going to practice. I'll send you some splits once I get good at it.
Good.
Okay, so we've talked about Galloway, and that's definitely an organization that I want to illuminate in this conversation. Is there any other organization that you'd like to illuminate?
Well, I think there is one other. It has completely unrelated, but it's called International Medical Relief, IMR. And this is an organization that my wife is intimately involved with. She leaves, as we're recording this, she leaves on Saturday for Poland for her third trip with IMR, where she will be working in refugee centers, helping Ukrainian refugees across the border that Ukraine shares with Poland. They're doing amazing work. They just announced, just yesterday, there was a horrible earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and they just sent out an email to all their contacts that they're going to Turkey as well. So they're all over the world helping people that need the help. It's not political, has nothing to do with politics. It's helping people that need medical relief. So I'm very, extremely proud of my wife for taking time out of her medical practice to go over there. As I said, this will be her third trip. And I have no doubt that when she gets back, she'll tell me there's going to be a fourth trip. So
that's awesome.
And they need non-medical volunteers as well. So people that can just go over and play with the kids that are in these refugee centers or help move supplies around.
When she gets back, we should have her on the podcast.
She would enjoy that.
So fun.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely.
All right. I'll get her contact after this. Okay. Last question. This is flown by, Chris. What is the message you want to illuminate? The thing you want to let the listeners leave the conversation with?
there's something that you can do that you've been afraid to try. And I don't want you to go through the rest of your life being afraid to try that thing. If it's worth doing, it's worth trying. And maybe there's a risk of failure, but it's way better to try and fail than to go through the rest of your life wondering what could have been. So try it. If it's that half marathon or marathon, great. Or maybe it's something not athletic related at all. Maybe it's going back to college and getting that degree that you didn't get, or some other thing. So do it.
Just go try it. Oh, this has been so good. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you. This has been a joy.
All right, friends. What do you think? Are you ready to break through some barriers? Are you ready to find a way to use that magic mile tool? Or maybe you just want to try something new because you were excited by how inspiring Chris is and how much fun he has doing what he's passionate about. Just in case you are wondering, and in case no one has told you today, you are such a wonderful piece of this world, and we are so glad that you're a part of it and that you're bringing your illumination into it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I'll see you next time on the Illuminate Podcast.